Joining us on the Joe Show tonight, he has been in Hollywood for over 50 years and has worked with all the big stars. He is now an author of his newest book, Star Flacker, PR agent Dick Gutman. And the Joe Show musical guest for tonight, Swedish country artist T.J. Leonard. So do not go anywhere. This is the Joe Show. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Joe Show. Joe Crawford here with you on this Wednesday, June the 1st, 2016. You know what that means.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Hump day!
Yes, it is hump day. January. Let's try that again. June the 1st. I was going to say, my, that year has flown by and already bringing it back to the 1st of the year, to January 1st. No, it's not January the 1st. It's June the 1st, 2016. Wow, half a year has gone by. What have you done? Have you stuck with your New Year's resolutions? I don't even make any New Year's resolutions anymore. But anyways, I know. Actually, I do. I make a resolution on to not have any more resolutions because I know I will just end up breaking them within the first couple days even, probably. But yeah, the Joe Show is slowly wrapping up season 9. We only have 4 shows left, including this one here. But don't fret because even though we're going to be gone in hiatus for the summertime, you'll hear all the best of the best here of the Joe Show on Ohm Times Radio. So we will keep you informed. And to do that, and to keep you informed, you must go to our Facebook page. Yes, our Facebook page, facebook.com/Joe Show Live. And make sure that you actually are there because we have a contest going on. The Urban Slide is coming to Niagara Falls, Canada. We'll be speaking with Sports 360 about that. So make sure you listen in because you can enter in to win a triple slide on this 1,000-foot super huge, wet and wild and crazy and fun water slide. All right? Now, it's not like a water slide that you go down. It's a slide that's a slip and slide that it goes with a tube. You can get a tube there. Proceeds are going to charity. We'll be speaking more again in a bit. Jesse Fulton from Sports 360. And you can enter in by going to facebook.com starting Friday, June the 3rd to get yourself a triple slide pass for Saturday, August the 13th in Niagara Falls. Also, joining us, we will have a man who has worked in Hollywood and has dealt with all the big stars in PR. He's written a book called Star Flacker. Dick Gutman will be with us momentarily. And our musical guest for tonight, Swedish country music artist T.J. Leonard. He has a new song that is out, and so we'll be playing that and speaking with T.J. in about half hour, 45 minutes time from now. So we have a huge show. We're just going to, we have time we can do quickly. Okay, we're going to have a quick time here to do our word of the week. So let's do it. Let's get to our word of the week. my word of the week, Dictionary Lady. What is our word of the week today on June the 1st?
Doughty.
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 Doughty. It's an adjective. Doughty. D-O-U-G-H-T-Y. So not like doughty. I thought like maybe if you had some doubt. No, no, no. It's doughty. D-O-U-G-H-T-Y.
Doughty.
All right, Dictionary Lady. It means steadfastly courageous and resolute, valiant. Doughty.
Doughty.
Doughty is your word of the week. So there you go. Doughty.
And the Doughty.
All right, Dictionary Lady, calm down. Our word of the week, Doughty. There you go. D-O-U-G-H-T-Y. And I want you to know that you can be Doughty on winning a triple slide pass when we play Where Are You Now, Joe? Just go to my website, www.joecrawfordlive.com. Click on the Joe Show page. It'll give you all the contest details. That's happening Friday, June the 3rd for 20 days straight, leading right up to our season finale on Wednesday, June 22nd. And we have a surprise of the guests we have that are going to be on that show. My gosh, it's going to be one huge blowout show. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll speak with Jesse Fulton from Sports 360 and talk about the Urban Slide, then Dick Gutman about his new book, and TJ Leonard. So do not go anywhere. We have a full hour here on The Joe Show.
She was gone, long live his name.
Hi, folks. This is Ronnie McDowell, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffee and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Ohm Times Radio.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Hi, this is BJ Thomas, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Welcome back to the Joe Show, and well, we have your cooling ways for summer this year in Ontario, and joining me right now from 365 Sports is Jesse Fulton. Hi, Jesse, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and first of all, tell me a little bit about 365 Sports and what you guys do first.
So 365 Sports was spawned as an action sports marketing company. We did action sports events, freestyle snowboarding, skiing, skateboarding, things like that. And then we've expanded into, you know, more fun events. We're big fans of philanthropy and giving back. And we felt that, you know, the fun run market and things like the Urban Slide could not only provide a great, great fun day for a lot of people, but also raise some money for charity while doing it.
Nice. And along with doing this, what you're doing in Ontario, six spots in Ontario this summer, the main one that we're talking about in detail will be in Niagara Falls on Saturday, August the 13th with the Urban Slide. But you also guys do a 5K Foam Fest that's happening across the country too.
Yeah, we've got 14 stops of the 5K Foam Fest. It's, you know, we grew it the same way. We started with six stops in the East and then, you know, went to 12 and then now 14 for a national tour. And it's now become Canada's number one fun run. You know, we've done really well with it. We have a huge focus on customer service and customer experience, and people have received it well. You know, we also do a ski and snowboard festival at Blue Mountain, and we're hosting the obstacle course racing world championships in October.
Nice.
So lots of stuff going on. Lots of fun stuff.
That's awesome. And you don't have to be, and as I'm thinking, because I'm not the fittest person there is or the most athlete person there is, it could be anyone that could come out to the 5K Foam Fest, this Urban Slide, which we're going to talk about. It's just a day of fun.
Yeah, all ages, all abilities, no pressure. You can run it, walk it. You know, you can literally crawl it for all we care. You know, as long as you're smiling and having a good time, you know, we're stoked. We're down with that action, and you know, we've there's a lot of athletic background with the company, and there's a lot of people who aren't into the athletic part of the company. We all do it, and we all have fun at, you know, all our events are awesome for everybody. And we like the whole, like, you know, you can do it with your frat buddies, you can do it with your family, you can do it with your kids. Like, you know, it doesn't matter. We don't care. You know, we always have a beer garden at every event. And we also have, like, you know, a kid's fun zone at every event. It's just a good time.
Perfect. The Urban Slide is coming to a town near you in Ontario, and is coming to a town near us here in Niagara Falls, exactly on Drummond Street on Saturday, August the 13th. Jesse Fulton from 365 Sports is with us to talk about this Urban Slide. And so on Drummond Road, it's 1,000-foot. I don't want to say water slide, because it's not a water slide, right?
No, it's a slip and slide. A lot of people are like, oh, it's a water slide. It's not, you know, it's not a standing slide. It's not a sitting slide. It's not a water slide. It's a slip and slide. You know, you start with some momentum, you jump onto your tube or whatever flotation device you either bring or buy, and you go sliding down this thing. And it's a blast.
Now,
it's a total hoop.
Now, this 1,000-foot urban slide, the slip and slide that you guys have, I mean, what is the dimensions of trying to get this all set up and everything? I mean, it's a lot to put on your part. I know you guys are going to operate it for the one day, but I mean, I'm trying to think 1,000 feet down Drummond Road. That's pretty big.
It is. It's, you know, and you have to think about it. Like, we laid down a foam matting in 4x8 sheets down the entire length and width of the street. Right. So we roll in at about 11:59 PM the night before. And we've got a crew of 20 guys who work all night long setting it up. So they lay down about 860 sheets of underlay matting, you know, in each section, and then unroll, you know, 10 sections of slide, hook it all up, run all the water, run all the power, run all the fencing. It's a really big undertaking. You know, a lot of people, I don't think, understand, like, how complex and you know, the thing's got more moving parts than a car.
I believe it. Oh my gosh. Now, how long does it take to get everything all set up?
Run the event, and then we tear it all down before midnight the next night.
The operation time for Niagara Falls, anyways, on Saturday, August 13th, that people can come by. And I know we're urging people to get their tickets online at theurbanslide.ca. There are a limited tickets, and they can also win tickets here from the Joe Show. We're giving away triple passes every day. There's going to be 20 of those that we're going to be giving away. 20 triple rides. There we go. And you guys have different levels, but what's the operation, first of all, of ours on August 13th?
Yeah, so you know, you're going to want to show up. So we have it in three different wave times, right? So what we've done is, you know, there's other events like this, but we've changed the model. One thing that we hate at this company is lineups. We cannot stand them. You know, you want to go out for a fun time, you want to enjoy it. So what we've done is we've actually pulled down, way down, the maximum amount of participants and got it basically to a break-even position where we can raise money and still keep the lights on, right?
Yep.
It's quality, not quantity. That's kind of, we got the whole Jerry Maguire thing going on here. Anyhow, so tickets are limited, but we have three different heats, right? So you can do the morning heat, the afternoon heat, or the evening heat. So you can, when you purchase your ticket, you can purchase one of those time frames. And we've also, you know, we created a bit of an evening one because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, have to work all day and they shouldn't have to miss out on the fun. So we operate from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. with three different time zones.
Perfect. Now, when people get these tickets, are they specifying what time zones they're doing?
Yeah. You can pick it, you know, so based on your schedule, you can be like, okay, well, I want to do the early morning one, do my 3 hours of sliding, and then I've got a wedding to go to or whatever it may be. Right. Or I'm busy that day, but you know what? I'm off at 4. I can do 4 to 7.
Perfect. Nice. Now,
these
tickets, I know there's individuals, there's triples, there's family. How does it break down, these tickets, and people can get them?
Yeah. So for one single slide, it's like $10 plus your processing fee, right? You know, a huge amount of that is insurance, but that's for kind of like if you show up and you've got a little guy or one kid and he just wants to do it once, right? You go for the experience, you do it the one time. The triple slider is pretty popular. You know, it's like $25 and you get to slide three times. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, that's, you know, I'm going to do a lot more. But what people have to remember is that you're walking 1,000 feet uphill every time you hit it, right?
Yeah.
So
you mean there's no way to come back up? You're not going to haul my ass up? Thanks a lot, Jesse. No, I'm joking.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We put you on the forklift.
Okay, thanks.
But no, yeah, you got to walk up. You know, we do have a cart there for people with special needs, and we try and accommodate that as much as possible. Because nobody should, you know, be excluded from the fun. So under certain circumstances and special instances, we go above and beyond to help people, you know, that perhaps, you know, are in a wheelchair or, you know, don't have the mobility to get to the top of the slide. And then we put them in the tube and we slide them down, right? We really want to make sure everybody has a fun time. But yeah, you got to hike up. And then there's the day pass, full day pass.
Nice.
And that's like all day long. Doesn't matter what time you can come, you can slide a bunch, you can go for lunch, come back, slide some more. That seems to be pretty much one of the most popular ones. And then we have bulk breaks for families.
I know that we mentioned a few times that money raised will be going to charity. Is it charity within the province? Is it charity within the city that you're in? Where's money going to?
We're working with the fire department of Niagara Falls because of the amount of stuff that they do with sports teams and the youth, things like that. You know, we do work with the community to find out which charity they would like us to focus the revenue on.
Yeah.
And which charities, you know, heavily involved in the community and giving back to the community at a pretty impressive rate. And it turns out that the local fire department in Niagara Falls really engages with the community and really works hard to raise cash for a bunch of different needs out there. So we felt that was a good partnership, you know. So when we go to a community, we say, here, we have a national partner. You know, we work heavily with Habitat for Humanity. We work heavily with the Canadian Food Bank. We work with, you know, school programs, school food, lunch, breakfast programs to make sure kids have food in their belly when they're learning. So stuff like that on a national level. We also do work with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. But the fire department was the pick of the town. That's, they wanted to raise some cash for those guys so that they could keep funneling it into the community.
That's wonderful to hear. And
yeah.
Rain or shine event?
Totally. If it rains, it's that much more fun.
That much more slippier, too.
Yeah, totally. And we control the flow, right? So we can control the speed. The more water, the faster it can go, the less, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all relevant. Like, safety is a big one for us. So, yeah, we've got it pretty scientific here on how we operate this to make sure everybody has a pretty good fun day.
Bring a tube. You can buy them at the location on Drummond. It starts at Drummond and Lundy's Lane Road location and goes down from there. So it's out of the touristy area, which is kind of nice, and a lot of parking around that area too. And we hope to see you out on Saturday, August 13th, either you winning a pass from the Joe Show or going to the urbanslide.ca. Jesse, we look forward to seeing you on that day. You're going to be there?
I will be there. I'm doing all of them this year.
Awesome. So we'll look for you and we'll get some pictures too and throw it on our radio website here. And we thank you very much and safe travels this summer with doing these six locations.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Will do. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this here on The Joe Show.
Hello, this is Judy Mann of The Chiffons and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hey, this is Rhonda Sykes, and you're listening to The Joe Show. I make it.
Welcome back to The Joe Show. And joining me right now is a man who has the ins and the outs of Hollywood. He's worked in Hollywood for many, many years. He has a PR agent, Gutman PR Associates. Dick Gutman is an author of his latest book called Star Flacker. And joining me right now is Dick. Hello, Dick. How are you?
Okay, great. Well, the key letters there is F-L-A-C-K. C-K-E-R. It should not be confused with anything else.
All right.
And it's actually a word that had never been used before except by my daughter. I spent my whole life doing publicity for the greatest stars in the world. I mean, I was the luckiest guy. Anyone ever wanted to meet, I got a chance to work with them. And so I'd started this book about, they were just so wonderful, and I had so much of their wit in my mind, and I wanted to. So my daughter knew that I had been with Idol, and Warren Beatty had suggested to me, I call it the way they were. He said, you work with the greatest stars in the world, you know how they were. I said, I represent Barbara Streisand. I cannot have a book called The Way We Were. It would look like I'm standing on her shoulders. So I was stuck, and it was hard. And my daughter, a tough journalist, came home once, and she said, where are you in your title? I said, oh, I don't know, Superstars, Legends. She said, Dad, that's so silly. The anecdotes, there's like 2,000 anecdotes. The anecdotes are about the great stars. But the book is about a very strange business that almost nobody understands, including most of the people who are in it. And I said, so what do you think? She said, well, anyone asks me what my dad does, I say he's a star flacker. And that was it.
And star flacker it has become. And over the past six decades of your work with all these various stars, and you actually started out when you were a teenager, age 16, as a journalist, and graduated from the film department of the UCLA, a film grad, and you kind of just fell into being into PR, right?
Absolute. You know, I have this absolute feeling that publicity was not only my profession, it was my fate. everything in my life that turned out well was because of publicity. And what it was, yeah, I grew up in St. Louis, as my grandmother was a Pulitzer, a poor Pulitzer, but we were in St. Louis because that's where Joseph Pulitzer was. And so I always thought I was going to be a journalist. I was always a writer. When I was 15, I was writing high school sports for the Los Angeles Examiner. And since UCLA didn't have a journalism department, I sort of wandered into the film. And that's what I wanted. I loved movies all my life. I think they make it a better world, or they can make it a worse world if they're bad movies. But if you think back, the American character was sort of shaped by these great performances. Gary Cooper, anything he ever did, Sergeant Parker, Lou Gehrig, or the sheriff in High Noon. I mean, he was the American character we aspired to, and we aspired to have the charm of Cary Grant. And if we couldn't have it, at least we could love it and admire it, and that makes it part of us. And that's all I cared about. And then I was looking for a job as an office boy because I was in school. I was supporting myself through school. And I went to this office that called Rogers and Cowan that needed an office boy. So I'm the guy, and I'm making deliveries. And one of the deliveries, the door opens, and it's Kirk Douglas.
Oh, jeez.
And I think, wait, what is it that these guys are doing? So I started reading the memos that I was passing around from office to office. And I found publicity. I'd never heard of it. And I looked at it, and I thought, this is everything I was born to do. So and by the time I was a junior, I was a working press agent.
Wow, this is amazing. Speaking with Dick Gutman, his website for his new book, you can go to is starflacker.com, F-L-A-C-K-E-R. Make sure you spell it right, .com. And also you can find the book on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, and it has a whole bunch of different anecdotes, you working with a whole bunch of different stars. And I know I've been doing the Joe Show for 9 years. We're getting close on wrapping up our ninth season, Dick, and
wow.
I get in awe every time that I get to interview a big celebrity. And now, I mean, and still, I mean, like, I mean, we have coming up near the end, we have Olivia Newton-John on our season finale, and it's like, wow. Olivia Newton-John. And well,
Olivia's a good friend. Everybody in Malibu is a friend.
Nice. Now, probably not now, but when you were in the business and doing your own and working with these big names, did you ever get yourself in awe and like, oh my gosh, I'm now the PR agent for Jay Leno, or as you said, Barbra Streisand, or whoever?
I'm trying to think back. I had an ease with people. One of the things that is that no star is ever a stranger to the public. Everybody thinks they know that person. And a lot of my stars don't make eye contact when they go through, because if you make eye contact, that person's going to come up to you. But when I was a kid, I knew I was going to do something, and we came from, during World War II, we came to California, and we lived in Hollywood. That's where I wanted to be. And I went up to the radio, the radio networks was the American National Entertainment.
Right.
And they had all the big stars, Jack Benny and Fanny Bryce, Baby Snooks, and Lux Radio Theater, where all the movie stars came and did their, they performed their shows in 1 hour on radio. And I would go up there and see these people standing in line. I wanted to be inside there. I was 11 years old. You had to be 14 to get into the thing. And then one day I saw this kid. He was in line. He wasn't any more 14 than I was. And I said, how did you get it? He said, well, all of these shows are produced by ad agencies. He said, you go to the ad agency office, and if you charm the girls a little bit, which is easy to do when you're 11, you'll get tickets that have agency on it. They'll let you in if you're wearing diapers. So that was my life. That was my hobby. I'd go to all the different shows. I'd go to Lux Radio Theater. Ray Milan and Jay Rogers were doing a reading of The Major and the Minor. And afterwards, I'd run up on stage. Miss Rogers, can I have your script? Mr. Milan, can I have your script? Why did I need two? But I did it, and I went to all these different shows, and I got to know the people. And I was never intimidated.
Nice. And I mean, just speaking with you and listening to you, I mean, of course, you've been in the business for so long, but you're very personable. You're very easy to talk with. You're very easy to listen to. And
that's kind. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, I mean, along with those traits, what other traits makes you, because I mean, in Malibu and in Hollywood and California, you got to be competing against many different PR agencies down there and make yourself stand out. And how did, when you're starting out and you did your own Gutman PR, how did you make yourself stand out?
Well, I was really lucky because the company where I went to, and Kirk Cutlass opened the door to my career, actually, was called Rogers and Cowan.
Yeah.
This was in 1955, I think I got an office boy job. And in 1955, a very interesting time in movie history, the studio contract system was coming to an end. And all the stars were so excited about it because now they were going to help make their own movies. The crazy thing is that, you know, the villain in those days were the studio moguls. They were, you know, dictators, and they controlled people's lives. Absolutely true. They'd say, this is what you're going to wear, and this is who your friends will be, and this is what we'll say your history was. And even Jimmy Cagney and some of those people stood up to the toughest of all the bosses was Jack Warner. And they lived to tell the tale. And so now, the business changing, everybody thinks it was so great. Well, the truth is, I look and see now is those moguls may have been sons of guns, but boy, they made movies. They wanted to make good movies. And if you look at the 30s and 40s, when all of this was farming, those movies were 1939, the greatest year of movies. The 10 nominees all are classics. Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz, Ninotchka, Stagecoach, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Just, you know, one after another is just great films that will live forever. And behind them, there were 20 other films that didn't get nominated. Beaujeu, Gunga Din, Destry Rides Again, Hunchback of Notre Dame, all in the same year. There were all classic movies. I mean, you can see all of these movies on Turner Classic Movies, which is where I spend my life.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, 30 great films. Well, today they're making comic book movies and they're making electronic game movies. They're not giving the attention and the money to the kind of human stories that made Hollywood part of our lives. And it's really sad. But during that time, they made great, great stars, which they don't do now. You know, no. Sadly, take George Clooney or Matt Damon, really good actors, you know, personable stars in every way, except that each of them in their whole career will never do as many great movies as Henry Fonda or Jimmy Stewart or Clark Gable did in any 2 or 3 year period.
Wow.
That's just what it is. These films will not live forever. And I'm luckily, I have a kind of reputation of doing good campaigns for films. So I get to work on, you know, great films, The King's Speech and The Artist, and this year was Spotlight, and just wonder. Benjamin Button was one of my favorites. I really felt like I let the world down when it didn't win the Oscar. But those films come along. There's still some great movies. But in the old days, there was a tsunami of great movies, and now there's a trickle. You know, and it makes me sad that the book is sort of dedicated to making people remember what movies used to be and what they could be. And actually, it gave me one of the greatest honors I ever had. Was, I mean, as I say, I love the Turner Classic Movies. You turn on there, you know, there's none of those films that you can't see for the 8th time and still enjoy it and see something new. And I was asked to be, because of, I think, maybe because of what I've done, I was invited to be the programmer for this last January.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought it was like winning the Academy Award. I was honored.
Oh, congratulations on that. Wow, that's an honor right there.
Well, it was a great experience because, you know, you get to pick 4 films. So I picked a couple films that I had worked on. Bonnie and Clyde, Warren Beatty and I were, you know, basically in the 60s. I think I was in my early 60s, he was in his late 20s. So he makes this movie that changed movies forever. It was, you know, it was a seminal movie that ever after was reflected in the movies that people chose to make and how they made them. And so I tried to take those 4 movies and watch them before I went on for the interview with Robert Osborne. You know, you're matching knowledge with great historians. And I'm not a historian. I'm an anecdotist. I remember every anecdote from my life. And there were, you know, it was like walking through a diamond mine. You'd step around the anecdotes that to remember. And when I was watching them, I saw new things in them. Like when I was watching Bonnie and Clyde, I've seen it, 20 times as I handled it, and I see it whenever it comes out. And I'm looking at this, and I said to my wife, listen behind the scene between Gene Hackman and Warren Beatty as the Barrow Brothers, when they meet each other again. There's this very big scene. I said, listen, what's behind them? She said, what? Nothing. I said, that's it. There's no music. There was no soundtrack in that. Except I remember, you know, the wonderful Earl Scruggs banjo music that was every escape. But it was only during the escapes. So I called, am I crazy? You didn't have a score for this film? He said, you're just getting that. I said, yeah, I just, on the 21st viewing, I just realized you didn't have a score. And he said, well, what happened was, he said, we did have a score. And Arthur Penn, the director, had to go off on another film, so Warren was doing post-production. And he's listening to this music in the score. He says, it was a beautiful score. And he says, this is wrong, because this film was not sympathetic to Bonnie and Clyde. You know, it wasn't. You weren't pulling for Bonnie and Clyde. You were watching their tragedy. And he said the music was sentimentalizing it. You know, music always tells you you're in a scene. Mm-hmm. And he said it was giving the film the wrong thing. I wasn't trying to make you for them. I wanted you to understand how this could happen, this tragedy. And for me, what a gift that was, to make a discovery about a movie I was intimately involved with, what, 40 years later. It was really quite extraordinary.
That's neat. Speaking with Dick Guttman, starflacker.com is the website to go to and check out his new book. And, I mean, it's just top of the pages that we're just talking about here. I mean, you got to get the book to go into how Hollywood used to be. And you did make a mention about how things have changed over the decades. I mean, nowadays, yes. It's not, we're losing that great movie Hollywood capture on the big screen. And is there anything else that you've experienced over the six decades of working in Hollywood, and you still do, and you still are a PR agent in Hollywood, that you are currently going still, but have you seen anything over the past 6 years, or 60 years, sorry, that, not like you said before with the movies, but anything else that's changed really in Hollywood?
That hasn't changed?
Things that have changed, yeah.
Things have changed. What hasn't changed is that if you create a character that the audience identifies with, you can tell them a beautiful story and hold their attention and maybe change their lives. That hasn't changed. They just don't do it as much anymore. Mm. You know, you look back on the golden age, most people think, oh, the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Golden Age actually went on until about the early 80s, which is not to say there was not great films made afterwards or great movies made afterwards. But the flow of movies that was coming out stopped being personal. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've seen, I hope your viewers watch Turner Classic Movies. And if they don't, do me a favor and turn it on, and you'll find joy there that we used to experience. It used to be part of the American ritual. We'd listen to the radio shows every night from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. That was our entertainment. And on Saturdays, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, we went to the movies. And it was the glue that held our country together. You know, the people on there, with Jimmy Cagney was, you know, had the guts that we all wanted to have. And every one of those stars meant something special. When I was 22, I did something that sort of messed up my life, and I was set up in publicity that I could have gone on doing it, but I took off for a year because I wanted to sort of rediscover myself. So I get there, 22, and I figure I can pick up jobs in movies that are made there. So I landed on a movie called Love in the Afternoon, Billy Wilder with Gary Cooper, Audrey Hepburn, Marie Chevalier. Mm-hmm. And in Paris, I mean, how much better could you be? You're 22. I was only making $75. But I was in Paris. I was working with Audrey Hepburn and Billy Wilder and Gary Cooper. And they were treating me like an equal. And then they knew the job I was doing was important to their film. And my great luck was, I mean, I was in a position to be the press agent on the film. I was the assistant press agent. Actual press agent on the film was a really good writer. He was intimidated by these people. I wasn't.
Jeez.
And so I had all the audacity that you needed. And so I would go in there, and really great professionals accept that you know your job until you prove you can't.
Yeah.
And I was really lucky. And I had, you know, and then that led to my meeting my wife. I mean, I owe that to publicity.
And I gotta say, for a Hollywood marriage, that's a long time. Like, that usually, I know it's usually celebrities or whatever else, but in Hollywood, that's pretty good. 55 years.
We've been. It'll be 58 this year.
58. Wow! Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, and we're both, you know, sort of rambunctious personalities. My wife is German. I mean, everything. There was nothing in the world. There's a million to one chance I would meet her, and a 12 billion to one chance that I would will secure as my part. Oh. But what we had was, I think, effective. By the fact that she worked very closely with me with these people. And the one thing that you have to do to work with them is to enjoy what you do.
Yeah.
And for me, it was impossible not to. I mean, people like James Mason and Peter Ustinov, and we handled all the Brits, Michael Caine and Roger Moore. And these people were fascinating personalities. Best thing is they were on the screen. It was even more when they were off the screen.
Uh-huh.
And it was just so much fun. So what we learned in our marriage was we could make continue if we kept having fun.
Nice.
So,
now,
I can always make her laugh. More important, I can make her make me laugh.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Now, I want to ask, because you're saying about all these stars that you've worked with and these celebrities, how equal they made you feel, how they are basically very nice and kind to you. Have you ever come across a strong-headed celebrity, the opposite end, where their nose is so far up the air maybe that they think they're too good for their own good?
I mean, one that comes to mind was Rex Harrison. Rex was very imperious, and I mean, he was a great actor, but I don't think he ever really knew who I was. I remember thinking he won the Academy Award for My Fair Lady, and so the press agent is backstage, and you're taking him to all the media and everything, and I'm leading him around. I caught him looking at me, and it looked sort of said, "Who is this guy?
Oh, you know,
who is this?" And that was the big impression I had made on him. But most of them became friends. And, you know, James Mason, one of the, I think, probably the most fascinating of all the people that I worked with, because, you know, he had a kind of, on his roles on the screen, you were sort of afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he liked that, because James, one of the things with James was, he was perfect in every way. His hands were like sandpaper. I don't know what, there was something about his hands, it was like rubbing your hand over a Brillo pad. And I think he was sensitive about it, because he would intimidate people not to put out their hand to shake.
Oh.
You know, I never saw anybody really put their hand out to James, because he was sort of frightening. But it was witty, and he'd do these terrible practical jokes. One time he's making a film in Asia, 3 o'clock at night, the phone rings. Yes, Dick, it's James. I said, James, what? And he says, these costumes they have me in for these photos, I don't think they work. You have to get into this. I said, James, you know what time is? And he said, yes, 3 o'clock there. And I said, yes. And he said, I thought you were, I would catch you before you go home. I said, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he says, oh, I didn't realize that. And I said, really? Then why'd you call me at home? And then I didn't want to hear his laugh. I slammed down the phone. That was James Mason, and your life was always like that with him.
This is great. It's the Vivid Decades of Hollywood's Glory, Inside the Golden Age of Hollywood. Star Flacker is the book. We could speak with Dick, I mean, like a whole show, and get all these great anecdotes too. But I want you to go get the book on Amazon.com. It is a truly well-written, it's a gem, it's funny, it's great information in how Hollywood was back then, and Dick, I want to thank you very much. I like to get you on another time and talk again more, because we can just keep on going.
I would love to do it, and I two things I would love of your audience. First, thank them for, you know, having listened to me prattle on, but I'd love you to start looking at Turner Classic Movies. I have a Nelson, who made one of the greatest war movies of all time, All Quiet on the Western Front. And the other night, the Turner Classic Movies was running the great German films. And that same year, the German director, G.W. Pabst, had done a very good film that was equally powerful. I mean, that's the film that was made, what, 70 years ago,
wow,
before I was born. And to this day, I couldn't sleep that night because it was so powerful. And if you go there, but you visit old friends, movies that are old friends, see new old movies you haven't seen, it really opens your eyes in a way that Hollywood's doing anymore. I'm so sorry to say that.
No, but, and it's true, and we can get even a new perception even on the older movies that we have seen that we may have not noticed before, like yourself, like you said, with Bonnie and Clyde, and just noticed a little of something of the soundtrack and the score, and there was nothing there, and we can probably find stuff that we haven't seen before either and just open our eyes and ears to it.
Well, Joe, you just came off of my stool.
Oh, sorry, I said we should also be looking when we watch these Turner Classic movies and these older movies to keep an open eye and ear, even if we've seen the movie 100 times, because we could always be experiencing something new that we've never seen before.
Well, that's a very important thing. In fact, when I was watching these movies, I was bringing to Turner Classic movies. I saw new things, and I'm like, with the music with Marne. But on Love in the Afternoon, which is Gary Cooper and Audrey Hepburn and Billy Wilder's directing them, Gary was very definitely way too old for her for that film. There was no question about it. He was 56, she was 26.
Right.
And what I didn't realize, and what Robert Osborne told me, was that Gary already had the cancer that would take him, and it was working him hard. And so by the time they got to making the film, he looked older than he when they decided to do it. And I was very aware during the film that Billy Wilder and the cinematographer, Bill Millar, were really careful in the lighting of the love scenes between them. And in looking at the film again, I saw why. They kept dark shadows on him, so you never saw his age. Mm-hmm. And in the first time they kiss, she moves out of light, and she moves over his shoulder. You're seeing her over his shoulder. Her face is fully lighted. His face is in silhouette.
Oh. Okay.
And it was Billy's way of keeping it. And then I started thinking of things that Billy had me do in publicity that perpetuated the very real, you know, public awareness of the fact Gary Cooper was quite a lady. You know, he was well known for his romantic conquest. And I could see that Billy was edging me and doing pussy that sort of supported that. And I saw the film in a new light. But there he was trying to take one of the great, you know, most romantic and comedic of stars, Gary Cooper, there's nobody better, and give him an even shot in this love story. So they ought. And so I was watching it with my wife, and she kept saying, oh, he's too old for it. At the end of the film, I said, what did you think? She said, he's too old for her. And I said, so you didn't like the movie? She said, I love the movie.
But he was just too old for her. That's all it was.
Yeah, but it worked. Well, almost all of Audrey's leading men were twice her age.
Yeah, see? That's hilarious. Well, and they started all the way back then. And I know sometimes with the older women that go off to the younger men or vice versa, and they're like, oh my gosh, but it happened even back then too.
Well, the woman I thought was sexiest of all the women I worked with was Greer Garson.
Oh, okay.
There was just something in her that was so feminine and so warm.
Interesting.
She was one of my favorite actresses. Oh. She allowed me to make up it to my mom all the terrible things I must have done. I think I was an awful kid. And so one time I was driving my mom, and I said, Mom, I have to deliver something to a client. It's just up the street here. We're in Bel-Air. And she said, oh, no, please go ahead. So I go to Greer's house and knock on the door. She opens the door, Dick, dear boy, come in, have some tea. I said, well, Greer, my mom is sitting in the car. So my mom's sitting there. Her very favorite film was Mrs. Miniver, you know.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Woman's dignity and beauty is never shown in any other film. And she's sitting in the car, and there's a tap on the window, and suddenly Mrs. Miniver is inviting her in for tea. It made up for all the bad things I'd done.
You were absolved on that very moment there.
It was the first time she realized I had something to do with movie stars.
Oh. Well, Dick, go ahead.
I'm delighted to have been able to visit with you guys, and let me know anytime you want to discuss further.
Oh,
there's 2,000 anecdotes I haven't told.
Oh, no, definitely will. Well, when season 10 comes along, we got some great things happening along there. We'll get you back on for sure, Dick.
That would be great.
All right. Well, thanks very much to Dick. Again, starflacker.com is the website. The book is called Starflacker, FLACKER. You can buy it now on Amazon. And don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this here on The Joe Show.
I believe that old friendship hardly never dies. It'll stay the same no matter how fast the time flies. The roots from my youth grows deeper than many other things. Those old memories from our teens means everything. We grew up by the river. That's where we learned how to catch those trout and live in that outdoor life. The river. That's where we learned everything about kissing girls and having fun, drinking beer late at night. When the flames from the bonfire reach towards the sky, I wanna thank you guys. Old times, we were fishing and rafting, drifting, just following the stream. Jumping from the bridge, swept away by the water round the bend. Like the water, the time runs by, and we were scattered to the wind. But the faces of those who were close will stay with me till the end. We grew up by the river. That's where we learned how to catch those trout and live in that outdoor life. The river. That's where we learned everything about kissing girls and having fun, drinking beer late at night. When the flames from the bonfire reach towards the sky, I want to thank you guys for old times. A flood of memories poured all over me the other day. And maybe when it's time to slow down, I'll be back to stay. We grew up by the river. That's where we learned how to catch those trouts and live in that outdoor life. The river. That's where we learned everything about kissing girls and having fun, drinking beer late at night. When the flames from the bonfire reach towards the sky, I want to thank you guys. Old times, I want to thank you guys for old times.
Just heard his latest U.S. single, The River. This is his second single, and he's a top 50 CMT most popular artist. And by that song, you can understand why. And joining us all the way from Sweden is the one and only country artist, TJ Leonard. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
I got to say, I've gone to your Facebook page. You can find TJ Leonard on Facebook. You can go to his website. It'll take you right there, TJ Leonard Country. com, and that's TJLEONARD country.com. And what a beautiful picture. I'm guessing that picture of the river with you standing on the bridge, like, with the foliage in the background, is somewhere in Sweden, right?
Yeah, it is. The song is about me and my buddies growing up fishing in that river, and we were rafting and you know, having a ball. Then the whole village started to live again after the winter. So it's the river is the main thing in that little village. And so the song is about me growing up there, and all the pictures and the videos, it's from that river.
The new single, The River, here in North America, in Canada, and in the United States. But any fond and good memories that you probably didn't put in the song that you could maybe share?
Well, there was a whole lot of parties, of course, with all those anglers coming from, you know, everywhere. So we tied the flies and sold the flies.
Yeah, okay.
The salmon flies. Yeah. They paid us in beer and in booze.
Hey, that's all right. That works out, then.
Yeah. So we took about, with today's money, about a dollar. Okay. And we took 10 flies for 1 liter of vodka.
Hey, that's a good sale. I should have been with you back in the 80s. That's great.
So, yeah.
Well, TJ, I wish you all the best with this new single. I know that it is rising the charts. It's going to be keeping on rising throughout the summer. It's a great song to listen to while you're out fishing and having fun. And we hope to talk to you again when you're in the fall time here in the States.
Absolutely. We keep in touch.
All right. Please do. And again, you can check out TJ's website. It's TJLeonardCountry.com. All the best, TJ. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
So thank you to our guests, Jesse Fulton from Sports 360, Dick Gutman of Gutman PR, of his latest book, Star Flacker, and also Swedish country artist TJ Leonard. That's going to do it for me. Have a great week. We'll speak to you next week. And remember, don't be ordinary. Be extraordinary.